This is episode 166 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. The sinking of the ship. Derek, what do you think?
It looks pretty ridiculous. Just thumbing through it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Did you see when I showed him the picture that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Beer, beer, beer. I love beer.
I love you guys.
I love you, Tony.
Aww.
I sold my childhood.
I love Lamp.
Should I have to go to the pants party?
Well, since we're recording,
why not?
Yes.
No, I was trying to start a fucking conversation with you assholes, but I sold my childhood.
Your childhood?
To what? Sexy bondage women? Or?
Oh, actually, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. We're not friends, fucker.
What?
If you're going to go on about what you found at your parents' house and that you then sold...
It's Star Wars stuff.
I saw a Dinobot in there.
Yeah, well, I didn't sell that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you only sold like parts of your
childhood. Did you have the old original Boba Fett that used to shoot kids' eyes out or something?
No, actually, it's funny. I did have the original figure that I sent away for, but it took forever. In fact, I got a card in the mail, and I want to say that they sent me some bonus pack of stuff saying sorry, it's taken so long. We hope your figure will be there soon, because as far as I know, they didn't send any of those out. That actually shot kids' eyes out because they were about to, and it was
weren't there only six or seven of them actually in existence after that, because they were just the prototypes that were out there.
Yeah,
that spring was a fucking missile.
Well, no, what happened was, from what I understand, it was basically at the same time when they had some other kid that shot some missile into his throat and choked and died, or some kid, and they're people are our kids can't be trusted with toys.
That's
and
I'm Darwin right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm like, that's survival of the fittest. Fuck off.
You're right. Yeah. They cannot be trusted with most of anything. They're children.
Yeah. So I just wanted my fucking cool toy, and I still got a good toy, just not as cool. But yeah, I sold all my old Star Wars stuff, minus my R2-D2. I kept him.
I remember
really awesome, get a lot of money type, or it's kind of just...
I got hundreds of dollars.
Remember back, late 90s, early 2000s, they used to do Star Wars send-away figures still.
Yeah.
I got B. Omar Monk, the little spider thing that was in Jabba's palace, and I was so excited. Then it came in this shitty white box that just had no packaging, and I was like, well, that's a dumb figure.
That's how my figure came originally, too.
And then I took it out, and I put it together, and then my cat ate its legs, 3 days later, so that was... waste of $6 and plus shipping and handling.
and the vet bill to put the cat down?
No, that cat survived pretty much anything, but it did have to have major surgery when my sister fed it a foot and a half of ribbon.
Are we going anywhere with this conversation?
I just want to say I feel bad for you, Derek. I mean, look around my house. I mean, why give up childhood when you can be a man child like me?
Tony, you just keep repurchasing your childhood.
I know. Let it
over
live on.
And over and
you,
over.
You do have Combaticons on your dinner table right now. So.
No, fuck you. Those are not Combaticons. Those are Destructicons.
Thousand
or
pardons.
Devastator.
I know it was Devastator.
Combaticons are right there.
Derek.
Combaticons will have to turn into Brutalis.
How dare you?
Bruticus, that's
you,
right.
Sir.
I suck.
No, Stunticons turn into Mensword.
Really, because you're wearing an Autobot shirt.
Disappearion.
I have a suggestion. Let's talk about fucking comic books.
Well, that's trying to are. I mean, Transformers have comics, right?
They do. Put up by IDW, yeah.
There we go.
So... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess we can talk.
I was feeding the flames.
I go on for forever here. I mean,
we're 3-4 minutes in and still
absolutely nothing of substance has been discussed.
Yeah. All right.
Because Derek made the beer today.
Oh, we learned that Derek counts money more than his memories in childhood. So
yeah,
pretty much. Yeah,
he'll sell his soul for a dollar.
Yeah, but see, that couple hundred bucks is going to pay for me to go do things at Toronto Fan Expo.
Oh, I see.
So I can go purchase other pieces of my childhood that I want more than the ones that I just sold.
All right. You robbed your childhood to pay for more childhood?
You should have started with that line, and then we wouldn't have given you some
shit. Then we would have called you an asshole for selling your awesome old toys.
Oh, so. Although I will say, do you guys... fuck it. We're
I was going to say, oh, did you want to get onto comics, but let's keep talking.
No, actually, this actually has more to do with Drunk on Comics than it does comics. Matt has that shirt of Dr. Doom riding a unicorn.
Yeah.
So... A couple years, like, back when they started doing the re-release of the Star Wars figures, and they had the speeder bike,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that biker scout had, like, the bendable pose, like, you know, yeah. like, so that he could ride on it, and it looked really awkward and weird.
That was the one that exploded, right? The speeder bike that would pop into pieces?
Which was the exact same as the original, except for the biker scout himself. Well, the guy that was buying my stuff, he didn't want any of the new ones, because he has 8 million of them himself, and he's like... And Mel's like, ooh, I want that. And so my girlfriend went and took that figure and then just disappears. I'm like, where are you at? And she's downstairs. 5 minutes later, she comes back out with a My Little Pony and the Biker Scout ride.
Nice.
And I'm like, all right, well, that's staying.
And that was one of the only figures that had opposable knees. So, I mean, that was really about the only one you could do that with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when it stood up, it looked like it...
Well, yeah, it was all awkward and forward, like.
Yeah. Really bow-legged. Yeah. Poor little man. But
yeah.
All right, well, for new listeners and ones that didn't pay attention to the intro, this is Drunk on Comics, and I'm original Derek.
Old Derek.
Old Tony.
Wait, you're not flesh. Old Derek.
You're old, no,
you're
Derek.
Old Derek.
Yeah. You're old Derek. I'm Derek, or new yeah. Derek, or young Neil, whatever.
What the fuck did young Neil?
It's a reference to Scott Pilgrim, which is also a comic. Just for the record. You don't have
That's sarcastic asshole Adam.
Yeah, I only have like two settings. It's being nerdy, talking about science, and being sarcastic.
And then there's Tony.
I already said that. Me, the McAwesomeness.
The McAwesome?
Yeah.
All right, McAwesome, kick us off with Off the Shelf.
You're like a McSteak.
I wasn't ready for that.
Oh.
I seriously wasn't.
I'll kick off start.
All right.
No, I'm ready now. It just took me an extra second or so.
Well, all right. We already wasted 4 minutes with another second. Yeah.
All right. Good show, guys. We got to run.
Let's wrap it up. Right. I mean, not talk about a single
comic. Seriously, April Fool's sometime. You should just all go off on a tangent and be like, but we're the comics.
We're drunk on witty banter.
What I'm going to talk about today is Spawn number 255. Interesting enough, I thought Todd was kind of just dropping the helms to everyone else to like kind of edit and stuff, but not really do. But this story is written by him. I know he's not doing the art right now. Art's by John Boy. Colors by Laura Martin. And the reason why I want to talk about 255 is because secretly I really want to talk about 254. And that came out last month, and I just now caught up. Going with Spawn, there was...
Sorry, I spit all over my comic books. Because you're just like going, secretly? And the look on your face is
Well, yeah, like, because 254 was amazing. And with Spawn, I read in childhood the first arc, and then there's a whole fucking many a years that I have not read Spawn. When they had the whole 250th issue, I picked it up, and I go... Shit, man, a lot of things have changed. I picked up randomly throughout the series, like when they started talking more about the suit and the cape and other highlights within his, you know, Al Simmons' life. But to come and see him come back, knowing that he died and all that, this whole new story arc is legitimately a whole new kind of set of stories. He's, Malabulja isn't really the huge, you know, bad guy all that it was. Now he's kind of taken on Satan. And now 254, which is what I really want to talk about, so I will, had to do with time travel, which was awesome.
Which is fitting, because you're going back a month to talk about the book.
Exactly. And it ties in, obviously, with how the series is going to go, but more recently, Wanda, his ex-wife, has been killed. And throughout the series, Wanda remarried. She had kids with some other people, or this other guy, and now she's dead. And she's dead because Satan wanted to, you know, pretty much, it was kind of that cusp that made Al come back from his kind of, he could have come back at any time, but he was letting the new Spawn guy kind of take over, and he kind of just was, like, doing his own penance. finding out that Wanda died and that he could have been there and prevented that kind of was like, fuck, man, I wish I would have been there.
Okay, now, he has a daughter, too, doesn't he? Didn't he have a daughter?
He himself? No. It would have probably been Wanda's, or they might... No, but they don't retcon in this. So therefore, yeah, I don't... he doesn't have any biological kids. I know they've tried. She's been pregnant before, but lost the kid.
Okay.
So that could have been it.
I couldn't remember if I'm going to have to look it up and see.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong.
All right.
Where this goes is the devil, and these, like I said, I'm going to blend them two together, but they were talking about how, you know, the God in this universe, you don't know necessarily how good he is either, because the demons, who you talk about more with Spawn interacting, go on about how God is really kind of a pompous asshole. You know, at least trust us. We're more truthful than what God says. He works in mysterious ways. But one of the things that the demons was saying to Spawn was that they've already kind of alluded that they could get Wanda back. They could let her be alive and let Spawn be alive. Hmm. And she was saying, all because we control time. She goes, humans are slaves to time. Demons, not so much. We can do whatever we want. We can go from time to time here and there. And this is where the time travel thing happens, where Spawn gets put back onto the Titanic. And already you saw a couple panels of these, the beginning, which is the end, of these two people on the ship. The ship's going down. They're not allowed to get on the life raft, so they jump. And this angel at the time says, what are you going to do, Spawn? Are you going to save them or not? And you see Al Simmons' face, and he's realizing what this test is. He does nothing. He lets these people drown. And you're kind of like, you're being a dick, Al. Like, Spawn is just, yeah, an asshole. Until he kind of comes to revelation saying, no, if I would have did something there, if I would have saved those two people, that ripple effect could have changed up to me even being Spawn. It could have made me not the, you know, crusader that I am now, all because of one small thing that I changed in the past. And he realized that. So although he wanted to save these people, he knew that it was probably two people that could have prevented him from becoming who he is now. And him knowing that, so he kind of goes, fuck you guys. But they said, well, the test was this. We showed you, proved you that it's true. You don't need to go that far back. We can just go back a couple months to, or a couple days before Wanda got killed. Not much is going to change in your life since then. She'll be alive. And now he's got to think about if that's, you know, possible or not. Long story short, he's too good of a guy to even do anything.
Long story long. Let's be.
But was that not fucking cool, man? That was of Titanic proportions. That story of time travel.
Wow.
I mean, that wild for me, guys.
Yeah, no. You know, you really jacked that one up, but you tried to, you know, find a way to rose to the occasion.
Mm. Oh shit!
See what I did?
Yeah.
Nobody's happy about this.
Don't try.
Nobody's happy about this.
No. All I'm gonna say is, going into 255 right now. Him beating this demon's ass was pretty sweet. I love the way that when the art shows them, because he's doing a lot more human form than being in Spawn all the time when he's walking around the city. But there was a part where his shadow was Spawn looking, and that was cool. Or with the demon, who was like this young chick sucking on a lollipop, like in the side of like a bus window, you could just see this gross, like, demon type figure. So to be able to show in the real world they're wearing different kind of skins, but who they really are underneath is really interesting take. The last thing I do want to say also, Spawn now has kind of teeth and kind of more of a venomish looking, and it took me a couple issues to finally be acceptable with it. I still find it, I like the old school, just, you know, the dark, no mouth moving, but now it does give more play with his features. You know, he can now smile, he can laugh, he can do things that what you can do with a mouth, smile even before he cuts a demon's head off. Like, so I really like that direction. I like everything about Spawn. I'm a huge fan again. Do more time travel.
All right. And,
or is it the beginning?
Well, your story will go on, just like my heart will go on. I'm king of the world. Fuck off. all right. I'm not going to be quite as long-winded on this one. And New Derek, you were asking about They're Not Like Us earlier. And this is issue 7, Strip It Down, written by Eric Stevenson, art by Simon Gain, and colors by Jordy Belair. And you're like, oh, how was that? And I'm like, have you read it? And you're like, no. I believe you said, I thought it would be something cool to pick up and try. Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
It is very cool. Here's the funny thing. With the craziness that has ensued since I've moved cities and jobs, I grab this one and I go, man, it feels like a while since I've read this book. And I started reading this one and realized I completely didn't read issue 6.
It happens to the best of us. We've all been there.
Apparently, I missed a lot. The reason I'm bringing this up is because even without knowing what's going on in a previous issue, I realized that you can pick up issue 7 because it's the start of a new arc.
Okay.
And you can jump in on this. This book is, for people that are not familiar, and here I'll hand it over so you can kind of take a peek. For people that are not familiar with this book, it's a group of young people that all have superpowers, if you will. And they're kind of more reasonable powers, you know, like there's no like shooting the beams out of your eyes and, you know, all this. A lot of like telekinesis telepathy, being able to talk to computers, being able to kind of make people see what you want them to see, you know, versus actually being able to see the real world. So, like, there are situations where they went out and beat the fuck out of a guy, and everybody that was walking by just saw them helping him, you know, kind of thing. So, this book, though, what Stevenson has crafted here as far as with his story, it's very much like a soap opera. And that's not a bad thing. You know, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's definitely the serialistic storytelling of a single issue comic, which does read well in the single issues, and I think would do just as well in a trade. But you definitely are diving more and more into each character with every book, and so you're finding out a lot about them. This is a wordy book, though. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed looking through
this. There are a lot of bubbles.
Yeah. Lots and lots of word balloons. So this isn't one that you're going to sit down and just rip right through. It's not a funny comic. It's not lighthearted. These are people that are struggling to deal with powers and not knowing how to use them, people that don't accept them, people that if they knew had them would want to use them or persecute them or both. And so there's a lot of heavy shit in here. Plus, you have the whole fact that these are young 20-somethings, you know, late teens to young 20-somethings. There's a lot of things going on in their lives that are in their transitions between being a kid and being an adult at that age. To add something like this onto it, Stevenson's done a really nice job adding that human element to a comic book about superpowered people. The art by Gain on this is very, very unique. And it's got me hooked on here. And the thing that I was talking with somebody the other day when I was about this book, I like the fact that I've seen so many different artists where every character looks the same. They just have different outfits or different hair. He does a really nice job at drawing the people differently. So even if this was black and white or they all had bald heads, I think you could tell who was who. They wouldn't all look the exact same. So that's a feat that not too many people do. So really nice job overall. The colors by Jordy Belair. She's a magician with colors. So yeah, check it out. I'm not really telling a whole lot about what's going on in this issue, only because there's a lot to get into. It deals with love and it deals with betrayal and
time travel.
No time travel. Nope.
Not picking up then.
Tony's out.
Yeah. Tony's like, well, that ship sailed and sunk. And so are my jokes.
Did it break in half first? Or?
That was cold.
Oh. Well, like ice.
Like
ice. All right.
She's as cold as ice.
All right, New Derek, what do you got?
Well, I picked up Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. And let me tell you.
The best book this week.
This book is fucking hilarious, amazing.
My favorite.
I will never let it go, Jack. That's right.
Ouch.
Until I'm standing on the back of a boat and, hey, you know what? My kids could probably use some extra money, but fuck it. I'm going to throw that really expensive diamond over the end.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Hey.
Although, that was stolen property, technically, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's watery grave. I don't think you can go back for it. I'm pretty
sure the statute of limitations would have well passed
expired. I don't think there's a statute of limitations on a watery grave situation, but...
I don't know. She kind of took it before the watery grave part.
Maybe. I don't know.
Plus, there's no evidence.
Yeah, well.
Just her story.
Fair enough.
She's probably crazy. She was probably never even on it.
Probably very crazy.
This is bad.
I wish I didn't start this. I could go back in time and just erase my Titanic.
This book was written by David Mandel. Artist is Michael Walsh. And the color artist is Matthew Wilson. This is so fucking funny. It doesn't even matter that it doesn't really play into anything Secret Wars.
It doesn't. It could be in the normal universe. It could be anything because it's just following an agent Hydra, which Hydra is everywhere.
Yeah, just this. Hail Hydra. This poor henchman that just, his life sucks. And he goes home from getting the shit kicked out of him at work to this horrible wife and kids. His wife just rags on him relentlessly.
Yeah, like, talking about, like, why can't we get a nanny, this and that, and...
Yeah.
Oh, can't. Like, the Johnsons, or not Johnsons, but, like, whatever, have them. Well, they work for AIM.
Yeah.
Those AIM holes.
This also has one of my favorite panels ever, of MODOK singing Amazing Grace at a funeral for one of the Hydra agents that got killed by Nick Fury breaking into their base.
I love MODOK. I don't know why. And actually, I'm... No, I'm not even going to get into the story. Just continue. No,
he has beautiful... MODOK just keeps popping up for every...
The writing on this is great. Like, at one part, there's a kid's Hydra baseball team from the Hydra school playing against the S.H.I.E.L.D. school. Like, there's, like, cross... Like, they're friends, apparently, outside of work. Like, oh, my God. Like, there's so many things I could go on about how ridiculous this is.
I love in the between, too, when they're talking about the tickets, and then they're all, like, in between, like, them talking, Hail Hydra, blah, 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 this and that. Hail Hydra.
Hank getting sexually harassed by Madam Hydra is hilarious after he gets a promotion. Just, there's so many good, like, references and tie-ins in this book. Everyone should pick it up. I was laughing my ass off
the whole thing. And then when it comes back full circle at the end, it's kind of like one of those things like, man, this life really does suck. It seems like this happens all the time.
Yeah, like
and
pretty much
well might.
Every day he gets the shit kicked out of him by Nick Fury, it looks like, because they're always breaking into the Hydra base that he's defending.
I think the best thing, though, what was the one Avengers name that he had to dress up as?
Rage, yeah.
Don't remember him. He could be real. Forgot to look him up beforehand. But that when they do have the Avengers show up,
it's all, like, the main people, like Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and Rage. Screaming Rage on as they jump.
Like, I feel like they made him up just for that one joke. Like,
oh, God.
I wouldn't be mad if they did.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sure it's a real thing.
Hank going to human resources over Madam Hydra sexually harassing him and grabbing his ass is...
Mm-hmm. Well, and that so they good. Know that that happens. Yeah. They're like, not much you can do.
And then them inviting MODOK and Madam Hydra out to dinner with their friends.
Yeah, when he found out that was his her husband. But so good. Such great writing. I want to see more of Hank. Like, seriously, have an ongoing series. Make it happen. I would pick that book up.
You feel so bad for him, but it's so funny. You have to laugh. Like, whoever thought you'd feel bad for a Hydra agent?
Yeah.
But it's great.
To answer your question, Rage first... made an appearance in Avengers number 326 in November of 1990. He was one of the 90s superhero releases.
Oh, okay.
He had a really shitty costume.
Yeah, no, 90s. The 90s. Everything sucked in the 90s.
It's true. We got Ace of Base.
We did get Ace of Base.
Nothing wrong with the 90s.
There was a lot of things wrong with the 90s. There was a lot of... I mean, what was
actually, there's nothing wrong with the 80s. There were a few things
wrong with the 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
There was just so many 90s superheroes, like, particularly the X-Men comics, that were like, wow, you were probably the most pointless thing I have ever seen in my life.
Actually, come to think of it, the Titanic movie came out in the 90s.
Did, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This joke probably did as well. Do you know what you get when you cross the Atlantic with the Titanic?
No, I don't. What do you get?
About halfway.
That's entirely fair, though.
Yes. All right. Derek, was there anything else?
No, I think I'm good on that. Just everyone should pick up this book because it is so funny.
It's a really, it's a great reprieve.
Yeah, it's a great like breakaway from the serious Secret Wars-ness. I mean, everything is Secret Wars right now, and having just a fun book, I think this might actually be better than MODOK Assassin for hilarious book of Secret Wars. So, go read it.
What do you got, Adam?
I read Over the Garden Wall. Over the Garden Wall is actually a miniseries that was put out by Cartoon Network, and it launched last year. This is a comic book series that they have launched after a one-stop sold, like, I think they said three times better than their projected numbers. Like, apparently this has got a huge following, and it's growing. So Over the Garden Wall is created and written by Pat McHale, illustrated by Jim Campbell. Additional colors are Danielle Burgess, and letters were Warren Montgomery. So this beautiful story that they've created through the miniseries allows us to step in with all of these comics with these in-between stories. Like, these are all of the things that are happening between the episodes. So if you're a fan of the comics, then you should be reading through all of them. And, yeah, they're really, really fun. It's the normal shenanigans of the two brothers and all the things that happen. And Greg, the younger brother, is probably the craziest thing in the entire planet, and I love him. Because he's always talking to his pet frog, like the pet frog's going to answer back.
Does it?
Not in the comic.
Oh.
The frog in the miniseries, the only way it can communicate is through song, and so it just sings to them. But because that's what happens.
Oh yeah.
This writer actually pitched the concept way back when, and then after the success of Adventure Time and Adventures of Flapjack, they were like, hey, remember that thing you talked about? Maybe you should bring that up again and give us a pilot. And so it turned into a show, and now it's going to be an ongoing comic. This is only a four slot. So there's only going to be the four of them for the in-between, but it's very possible that another continuation of comics and stories could branch off of it. But regardless, it's fun. It's definitely for kids. So if you have kids out there that you know, want to read a fun comic and they're fans of the show, definitely a good one to pick up.
Eric, you should buy it so you can be a kid again.
I'll just sell it to buy something else. So,
you know, to go buy Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
Circles complete.
Yeah, what did kids play with in the 1950s?
Your mom.
Oh.
Seriously, though.
I was going to say something, but it would have just escalated and been horrible. So
Derek's just sitting there just going, ow, ow, that one hurt a little. All right, shall we move on to news, guys?
I think so.
All right.
No, I have two more books to review.
Oh, good, another 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, we got a while before the lifeboats come and get rescue us anyway.
Oh, so, that's good.
Yeah. All right, so probably the biggest news to come out this week was the new Star Wars Awakens teaser, which has, like, what, an extra 3 seconds?
Whole 3 seconds more.
But I think the cool part about this is that you see Finn raising his lightsaber against, who's the bad guy going to be?
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
They haven't necessarily said it's a bad guy.
Yeah, but you just kind of feel it because it's dark and he's got a red lightsaber.
Okay, yeah. Who uses a red saber? Sith. That's it.
I mean, it just depends on color crystals. I mean, I think...
I mean, logistically, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because anybody can...
You can have whatever color you want. I mean,
right.
Fucking poor Mace Windu had to have a purple lightsaber.
Actually, that's because Sam Jackson asked for that specifically.
Yeah.
That's just racist.
No, he asked for...
Yeah, that's racist if you ask for a color.
I don't know. You got the grape lightsaber? I don't know. It's terrible.
Well, technically, it would be...
I didn't ever think of that until you said that.
Yeah, I thought they just pigeonholed him into it. That just seems, like, horrible. And, like, here you go, Black Jedi. Here's this purple lightsaber.
No, so does that mean, like, the... Like, Well, red is associated with evil, which we kind of just said, so never mind my whole theory.
I don't know. I don't think red necessarily is associated with evil, though. Maybe just in, like, a Sith sort of way, because that's what you saw. Darth Vader had a red lightsaber, so not everyone that has a red lightsaber is evil.
Yeah, they continued doing that with the continuation of the comics through Dark Horse with Ventress having double red Mace, or not Mace Windu.
Darth Maul.
And Dooku both had red as well.
Yeah, all the Sith have red. No one else has a red.
Shenanigans.
I can't say not because there used to be a lot of Jedi that there was.
I want to say in the books there were cool. Jedi so, that had red
so
sabers.
I'm wondering if it's just like, you know, the cool kids club.
Well, you know what? I will continue this conversation with Jay from An Elegant Weapon. .ca.
Yeah, he would know more.
He would know this.
But anyway, so. There's very few blue lightsabers out there, and the one that people know most was Anakin's, which ended mm-hmm. up becoming Luke's,
mm-hmm.
Which was lost when, surprisingly enough, Anakin, a.k.a. Darth Vader, cut off Luke's hand in, you know, Cloud City, and, you know, it fell down to wherever. And so now people are looking at this going, thinking that this is supposed to be Anakin's lightsaber, and from, because each lightsaber is different, and they have this little raised groove and that little nubbin on it, and the French tickler over here, and the, you know, ribbed for his pleasure there. They're like, oh, this one, that's definitely Anakin's. So
to me, I wouldn't care whose lightsaber I got. If I had a lightsaber, I would have so much fun for the last 10 right. seconds of my life before I chop myself in half.
Well, yeah, but you also have to look at it, though, too. I mean, it's the symbolic passing of the torch.
Yep.
But how did it get there? Isn't Bespin a gas giant? Like, there's no land for that to fall onto from Cloud City.
How do you know?
Because they talked about that. Like, Bespin is a gas giant.
When did they talk about that?
I like the books, I guess, which they could rewrite canon now.
Yeah,
the books.
The only thing that's canon are films.
I really feel like we shouldn't talk enough about Star Wars because we don't know enough, but we should really get Jay to come fill us in.
I read a lot of Star Wars books that apparently mean nothing anymore.
Well, apparently, I knew enough to sell my toys. So.
Yeah, no, the thing with the canon coming along is that the Marvel comics currently are also considered canon because Disney Marvel has them on lockdown. So that's a count. And then the cartoons work, and then the
Jax
movies work.
So the Rabbit is going to be
Jax the Rabbit
canon?
No, the current.
Oh, the current comics.
Yeah, the new resurgence after.
Okay, like Lando and.
Yeah, yeah. After we got him back from Dark Horse, that all still counts.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, so there's that. If you guys want to check it out, go check that out. What else was out there that caught your guys' eye?
There was the Hoopla thing that we saw that we learned about, which
is awesome.
Pretty freaking amazing.
So go this.
This we actually did research to know more about.
Yeah, PSA guys out there. Go get a library card right now. Just do it.
So we figured out there's this thing called Hoopla, which is a free service if you have a library card. And Image just recently added a bunch of comics onto it. It pretty much operates as a Netflix for comics, but it's not just comics. It's movies, audiobooks, CDs. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on here, and it's all free if you do have said library card.
How much is it if you don't have a library card?
You can't without a library card, apparently.
Oh, so
it is a library service. They've paired with, like, local libraries to become this awesome, like, digital service where you can borrow, like, graphic novels. And I didn't, like, since I don't have it, I mean, I couldn't dig super deep in here, but there's, yeah, it's, I saw a ton of stuff and a lot of great back things. I mean, they had, I mean, like, old Walking Dead, Lumberjanes, Killing Joke is on there, Sandman. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you probably want to read anyways if you haven't in the past. And the ability to access it for free with a library card is amazing.
They got a Goofy movie. Fuck yeah.
God damn it.
John Romita Jr. is leaving the Superman comic book.
No, this is fucking, this makes me so happy. Okay, I'm over it.
Yeah, John Romita Jr. is leaving Superman for another project at DC. This project has not yet been announced, but gotta assume it's pretty decent if he's leaving Superman.
Right. Well, he did hand the torch over to Howard Porter, so hopefully he'll show up and do some good work with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like there's a worry on, you know, quality of...
By the way, guys, your comics are not stopping. Other things are just happening.
Yeah. Okay. Tony, I know one of the things from your childhood that you absolutely adore was the Dark Crystal.
Yes, I did.
You can actually own some of the Dark Crystal, if you want.
Really? I can get the crystal?
No, but you can get Fizzgig.
Oh, that's not the crystal, but Fizzgig would be cool, too.
Yeah. You can also get some of Hugh Jackman's claws from X2. You can get things like the Superman tunic from one of Christopher Reeves.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The license plate from the movie Bullet. You can get a Witch King dagger from Fellowship of the Ring. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's there, including the only known Fizzgig puppet in private ownership. So this is going on. I found this article through the LA Times, and I wanted to see what they had the estimated price on Fizzgig, because I was surprised. Yeah, $12,000 to $15,000.
Oh, yeah, I'll just sell a couple of my Star Wars figures. That should work out pretty good.
But I was surprised because, you know, $12,000 to $15,000, but like the multi-pass that Lilu had in a Fifth Element, mm-hmm. they're expecting that to go for $6,000 to $9,000. So I'm like...
The multi-pass?
Multi-pass.
Yeah, just... Multi-pass. Yeah. It just seems like that was just like a little low to me. I mean, there's a prop gun from Tomorrow Never Dies that's going to go for $15,000 to $18,000, they estimate.
And it wasn't even a good one.
Yeah. And, I mean, Tony, how much do you think the actual Witch King dagger would go for?
Renders are nuts. I would say they're probably going to pull 20.
20, yeah.
39 to 47.
Beautiful.
That's what they're estimating. So, yeah, I mean, you guys can go check this up. The place is called Prop Store. Is the place that's doing it, but I thought that was pretty cool. So if you guys want to own a piece of your childhood, that way you can. What else was out there, guys?
I'm really excited. Rolling Stones just had this really great article from Grant Morrison, who is, if you don't know, relaunching Action Comics for DC. So he's actually revamping Superman.
Somehow I missed this.
Yeah. There's a really great article on it. Action Comics is being relaunched. In the article, the author, whose name is Brian Hyatt, has this really great conversation with him about like what he's doing and why he's doing it and how things are going. And he asks if the revamp of Superman will be as major as John Byrne's back in the 80s. And he says, yeah, very possibly, most probably. He wants to bring Superman back to the more... I think, as he says it, the more Bruce Springsteen Superman, you know, T-shirt, jeans, the socialization, the being a real person in the world. So I think it is going to be an interesting spin anyway to see what's going to happen. I don't know when that launches. I think it's in the article. I just don't remember the time off the top of my head. The reason I'm bringing all of this up actually is that he feels that. This author, who is revamping one of the oldest and longest-running comic series in history, actually feels that comic books are in a death spiral, that they're being killed by the movies, and that superheroes are going to be something to fade out in written literature like this because so many people are happier going to see the movie than buying the comics.
It's interesting. I was having a conversation at the bar last night with a friend who... She's never read a comic, but she's seen every superhero movie that there is. Now, would she have, you know, is she going to start reading comics? Highly doubt it. Would she have read the comics without the movies out there? Highly doubt it. She was asking, though, do you think it's a good thing to have all these movies out? I mean, is it helping the industry? It's helping some publishers. And on the indie side, it's helping some creators.
Absolutely.
But I think overall, where it does hurt is you have a lot of people going to conventions now that never went to conventions. And while, yes, you're putting massive numbers, record numbers of people through the door, not all the creators are going to make as much money as what they once did, because you're going to have people in their cosplay outfits that are strictly there to show off their cosplay because it's part of the culture now. Mm-hmm. You have people that are going strictly to get Norman Reedus's autograph, you know.
But the average of those people that would actually maybe buy something there still puts the gain on those people that aren't going to these anymore.
Yep.
Looking at since the 90s when they put out so many comic books, this and that, stores have been falling and failing. And I know many of them here in this town that have closed up. But the ones that are making it now, it's because there's a resurgence in comic books. Now, maybe it's not the movies, but I can guarantee you I think it is the movies.
It's helping quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's helped. Well, you know, I think what the movies have done is made it okay to be a nerd.
It is cool.
With it being cool, I mean, like, perfect example is you look, though, that we've got three out of the four of us sitting here wearing nerd t-shirts where we can, as grown adult men...
I would really like to know what Jesus' Jungle Youth Rally 97 is, though.
That's why I said three out of the four of us.
I know, but that just sounds amazing. But, yeah, I mean, it's totally cool.
The original superhero. Oh, from the dead, can walk on water.
Not touching that.
He was a drunk on comics guy. He turned water into wine.
Not touching
it. Nope. Not touching that with three nails.
Oh! Ow!
Shit. Dude, man, you totally nailed that one. Oh!
If I could walk on water. Oh, wait, that's Eddie Money. No, but it's definitely changed, you know, but, yeah. More people see stuff, more people go out. Yes, right. It's more acceptable. I don't know. There's a lot that we can talk about, and I guess probably just conversation for another day.
Yeah.
On there.
Good conversation is speculation, and some concept posters have come out of Civil War with people teamed up. You have Iron Man, Black Widow, War Machine, Black Panther, and Vision on one poster. Next one you have Captain America, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Ant-Man, Hawkeye. I'm not sure who the chick is. Is that supposed to be Carol Danvers or...
No, I know this. Hold on.
I'm not sure
who that... I can't see who it is from here. I'm just...
Oh, no, that's Carter.
So Agent
Carter?
Yeah. Evelyn Carter?
Peggy Carter? Oh, her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yep, that's the daughter.
Okay. So, we have those teams, or at least those people in the same... So
they're on the same posters.
Yeah. But I don't know if they're obviously, teams. Yeah, but it seems like there's another poster with them looking like they're going against each other. They put the same
color behind them, so, I mean, it's pretty unifying.
I mean, are they doing gold team and blue team?
Probably red and blue.
So probably red versus blue.
Well, yeah, but the gold team and the blue team were X-Men references.
And
yeah.
Since they're not X-Men, they wouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Kind of...
Well, I just thought maybe they could start. They could say that they had the gold, gold blue team and the blue team before.
Technically, Iron Man was gold at one point. So,
but they could.
Oh take yeah, that something Fox. Else that they could steal from Fox so that they can get the rights back.
Yeah.
I just slowly bleed them.
Yeah. Oh, look at all this content you can't use.
I look at this all, and I see everything makes sense except for Black Widow being on Iron Man's side. Yeah. I think she has more of an allegiance to Steve Rogers. However, she could be a mole planted in there.
Wait, who's is she on the same team as Hawkeye?
No, Hawkeye's on the other team as well.
Yeah. Oh, so I have to drop this in. One of the best things I ever saw, you guys know, because this doesn't make sense to me with her not being on the same team as Hawkeye, because the first Avengers, there was clearly the love interest that was hinted at. Somebody posted a thing. They're like, hey, did you see the, did you notice the little hint of the love interest between Wanda, Scarlet Witch, and the Vision? And, like, you know, they're kind of alluding to it, but they didn't really touch on it. And, yeah, don't worry, in the next movie they'll show that Vision has a family that they never even mentioned before, and it won't happen. And I was like, oh, that's sad.
You know, funny thing that does these posters, concept art, doesn't show is Thor or Wanda.
Or Hulk.
Right. Or Hulk, which those are big main characters that should be in there at some point.
Or Spider-Man.
But it's also...
Which is also slotted to come in.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure what... the whole thing's going to be about. I don't think... I mean, they've alluded enough to Tony Stark wanting to register, but with a world where there's not really hidden superheroes, most everyone knows Tony Stark, knows Steve Rogers as Captain America, they haven't really had to hide their secret identity.
What if it's just a fight over Scarlet Witch?
No, I think it's a fight over
Black Widow.
Bucky. At the end of The Last Avengers, we saw...
Hey, spoiler...
Well, if you haven't seen Age of Ultron yet,
it's out on movie, like,
next week. I mean, we can't not ever not after. Talk about how that happened. But,
all right, well, I mean, they should at least give a warning that you're going to ruin things.
Warning, so at the end of, that I already kind of mentioned, you know, you see Bucky there and Captain America talking to him, and I think Tony Stark is going to want to question him for his role in pretty much destroying S.H.I.E.L.D. And then Captain America would be like, no, we're buddies, and I'm not going to hand him over. And I think that might be the catalyst.
You know, I think the most interesting thing is that they're taking it in a new direction that it's never been in. So, like, all of this stuff, all the speculation, anything that we've read in the comics, we know may have given some direction, but not a lot.
Okay. I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's kind of... It's stuff to come. One news thing that I did not send to you guys.
You guys want to talk about Hawkeye's suit, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
It kind of ties in with this, so we may as well.
Hawkeye looks good. He's pretty. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys didn't know Jeremy Renner. He's attractive.
Yeah.
So hot.
Olivia Munn, guys.
So hot.
Olivia Munn actually decided that, like, she's putting up a thing where she's doing more action and, you know, fighting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for as much as I like to bitch about her, and we're probably going to hear the smacks and the kicks, yeah.
Isn't that badass?
Dude, she looks great. She looks the part.
And that acting looks pretty badass.
We all know you love some Psylocke, so...
Yep. And unless she's going to be silent, I don't know how she's going to pull this off. So...
You know what? Psylocke glares a lot, so maybe they're just going to lean on that.
She does have a harsh case of resting bitch face.
She does. That's what I mean. Like, just the look. Like, they don't actually have to talk to her. She just makes everybody shut up.
She made that, like, a career on G4, just looking like she didn't want to be there. So. Yep.
I don't think she was just looking like she didn't want to be there. But that's me. So, anyway... was there anything else you guys wanted to chat about here today?
Just a real quick nod. There is a new production comic production company called 451 that is releasing their first comic in October. It is a multimedia version, so it does like stop motion throughout. It's something to maybe pay attention to, go out and get, but we will definitely be talking about it after it launches.
It is, okay, and you were kind of showing me this earlier, and if I'm correct, this is similar to the Made Fire motion comics.
It is in that same vein. This is, this company wants to try to find a new breed of comics that combines the old and new media while still trying to make it feel like a traditional comic, but give it kind of a new life.
Yeah.
So I think it's just for the ADD kids that don't sit and read.
I think it's more for the people that really get into video games like Infamous.
Right.
Where they use that form. I think it's great. I don't think you're going to necessarily draw in standard comic book readers into a motion comic book. You might be, but I think you can maybe get people that are kind of interested in comics but aren't interested in the traditional format.
Yep.
I think you could get them.
I'm hoping it's for new art. Like, as a new form of art, it does draw people in and maybe give some people a chance to give comics a chance for the first time.
Yeah.
One huge kind of comic book thing going on right now is, as we mentioned, the delays in Secret Wars. Like, number 6 was supposed to come out beginning of August, and here we are, not having it in our hands. It's not scheduled till September 16th. It's a huge fucking pushback on a comic for this. Secret Wars number 7 was supposed to be September 23rd, but now that's not scheduled till October 7th. Getting all the way into the 8th one of Secret Wars, to tie it all up, is going to be published on when they are releasing the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Well, they just come out this week and said, instead of 8 issues of Secret Wars, we're going to do 9. Which is awesome in, like, I truly believe if you have more story to tell and you can't do it in just all these pages, take your time, have the extra one, pace it out a bit. The only caveat I have with that is have the artists and shit ready, because this has had a lot of production problems with wanting to tell this story of grandeur, and it keeps getting pushed back, and I want my Marvel now. So, yeah.
Make mine Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of anything else Marvel-ish.
Excelsior.
Oh.
Did you actually just as a quick nod, Stan Lee's last cameo, the one in Age of Ultron, was actually a nod to the fact that he was enlisted and actually in the army, but he was never in battle. So, like, that's the reason why that whole thing came up. It's actually this huge inside joke amongst all of his friends, and so he got his friends together to do that one little cameo.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, I just read that recently. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Cool. All right, well, shall we move on down to the Indy Turnpike?
Yep. I think that's a great place to be.
All right, so this book came out a week ago, but it took me a while to read it. This is Empowered. It's huge. Yeah, Empowered number 9.
Who produces that?
This is Dark Horse. Actually does this, and this book is basically just about everything is done by Adam Warren, pencils, inks, writing, letters, except for the fact that the cover colors were done by Rob Porter, and the logo is from Eugene Wang. But this is a big thick book. It's 231 or 32 pages long. So, yeah, you're basically about 10 to 11 comic books.
Excellent.
Here. Yeah. So it's, and, you know, for $18, I'm okay with that. I think that's a fair price. This is kind of fun because, I mean, this is a while back, Adam, when we were down doing the little, nerd night thing,
mm-hmm.
and somebody asked what my guilty pleasure is. This is my guilty pleasure, is Empowered.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. This is a mirror manga, you know, so for people that like the manga style, this is the Americanized version of it. Adam Warren has made a name for himself in this art form. And it's a very soft style to it. I mean, if you look at his pencils and inks, they're very soft. It's not quite as crisp and harsh as you see in a lot of other forms of art out there. So I think that's kind of one of the things that might take people a little bit longer mm-hmm. to get used to with his style compared to more of the traditional style that's out there. But just like, good old-fashioned manga, you have very beautiful, shapely women with large eyes drawn in here. Lots of speed lines, which are always fun whenever there's action. But unlike a lot of the stuff that I've read, what the hell is going on over there? Are you guys
Derek opening his comic
I was trying
book?
To stealthy just, open.
No, just, that's just, it's just so much worse, man. It's like being in the middle of like a movie theater and it's quiet and you're
someone
like
rustling.
Opening. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm sitting over here going, just open the fucking bag already.
No.
But, so anyway, this is interesting though, because most manga is action based. And, you know, it definitely gets, you know, a lot of the action carries the storyline through. And a lot of times you go, well, you know what, the story wasn't that great, but the action was so fucking cool. It's kind of the same thing with a lot of the anime movies. This book, it's about halfway of 230 pages before there's any real action, which is really says a lot about this, that Adam Warren can keep your attention in a book like this where it's just talking and talking and talking. However, I got to show one thing, Tony, before I hand this over to you. Adam, you and I were talking about this character, and you were kind of, you know, joking about the fact that there's a joke about how she's constantly captured and tied up. It's kind of like a little bit of a bondage.
This damsel in distress bondage problem that she has for being a superhero.
Yes. And in this, one of the other superheroes, whose name is Ghost Rider, because that's his power, is to help people write books. That's
a good power.
Yeah. He, and actually let me back up. The imp, the girl who is empowered, her power comes from her suit, which is an alien suit. It's similar to a Venom kind of thing. And you actually find out in here, in this issue, that the suit is actually kind of bonded with her DNA at this point. She's the only one that gets any powers when she wears the suit. And, you know, she doesn't have any powers without it. People have figured out, all the bad villains have figured out, that the more you damage her suit, the less her powers actually can be there. So her super strength, her ability to shoot, like, rays and shit, like, out of her hand. If you damage her suit, she loses her powers, which is funny because the more she loses her powers, the more and more skin she shows as well. So it's one of these things.
Yay, manga.
That's very manga anime right there.
Yes. So Ghost Rider wants to take, you know, the thing. Basically what he wants to do is write a book called Power Stripped, which is really nothing more than just photos of her when she's been captured in bondage and turning it into softcore porn, basically. Which, you know, when you look at chapter one, it's just a picture of her ass, you know? This is, and he's sitting here pitching this whole thing to this poor girl who's very uncomfortable, doesn't want people to portray her like, or see her like that, but it's kind of brought to light that she's become almost this joke within the superhero community, this laughing stock. And it's kind of saying the same thing outside of it, that a lot of people view this book, this actual book that I'm holding, as a bondage, you know, TNA kind of thing, when this really does look at a lot of the tropes that are out there as far as superheroes and women in superhero comics, and really breaks them down and, you know, makes fun of them. Even to the point that the last two pages in here, Adam Warren has all the characters in here, basically has them speaking and has Emp saying that, in closing, the guy who does this comic would like to make it very, very clear that the appalling doofus Ghost Rider was not, in fact, an author identification character or whatever, okay? And then it goes on to say, probably because, well, the skin-crawly image of a no-talent hack rubbing one out to me getting spanked isn't quite the look that an author, nay, an auteur, wants to directly have associated with himself, see? To which I can only say, you're the hack writer who made the brilliant decision to depict a jack-off happy hack writer character in your own stupid story, you dumbass. So the book makes fun of itself. It makes fun of Adam Warren. And his writing is great. I mean, like, there's the accents that are put in here that are spelled out phonetically. You know, downright, trouble in combination. Downright is D-O-W-N-R-A-H-T. You know, so, like, when you're reading it, you have to hear the accents. Just beautifully written book. If you don't know anything about this character, pick it up. She's very easy to empathize with, because of the fact that she is a flawed individual. She has body issues, isn't comfortable wearing the superhero suit, but if she doesn't, she doesn't have superpowers, and she wants to be a superhero. You know, she's always, like, on the C team, you know, or the D team. Like, she's never been
quite good. The double D team?
Yeah, the double D team. She's never quite been good enough. But in this, the whole second half of this book, she kicks serious ass, and you find out she's one of the smartest superheroes that's out there.
She is. She just has really bad, klutzy timing.
Yeah.
With some really stupid things, and she put herself into compromising positions because of it.
Yeah.
Eric, why are these pages so sticky?
I don't know, because it's been passed around the table too many times, the book.
That doesn't make it any better.
Or does it?
Yeah. Well, hey, you don't know whose is who now. But anyway, go pick this book up and check it out. I am really excited to see Adam Warren next week in Toronto as well. So I'm going to have to get another commission from him. I just don't know what yet. So that's it for Indie Turnpike for me.
All right, Boozin' the Book this week has Ghostbusters Get Real number 3, because it only revolves around one part within it, which is Slimer. As I explained in the number 1 of this series, it's the comic book Ghostbusters getting the real Ghostbusters, who I feel are better, because they have Pet Slimer at their place, and comic book, not Venkman, why am I...
Spangler?
Egon?
Nope. Yeah, Spangler. Goes... No, not Egon, because that's Egon.
Ray?
Ray. Ray goes into...
Steve.
Shut up. Goes through the dimension to the real Ghostbusters place, sees Slimer, and gets slimed. And luckily that they had already established, because in their world, their Slimer is kind of a, you know, more of a terrifying ghost. It felt natural that he didn't get scared of that Slimer, because they already did that exposition comic book before. So with that being said, I was like, I want to find something with Slimer, and then I was thinking Ecto Cooler, But then I found one that's called the Ghostbuster that just seems really fucking sweet. And it actually is sweet tasting and simple to make. It's one part peach schnapps, 1 ounce melon liqueur, and then 3 to 5 drops, or a few more, of Irish cream liqueur.
Hmm.
Greenish looking ooze, and those little droplets kind of don't, they kind of float in the middle there as if they're like kind of little.
Well, ghosts. Yeah, because they're going to curdle
horribly.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's not.
No. If you mix citrus and Bailey's,
see, but it's just drops.
Good thing it's small amounts, because otherwise that's gonna be.
Yeah, it's not chunks that explode in your mouth.
So, anyways.
Oh, Derek just had a bad memory.
Oh, sorry.
It's like an issue of Empowered over here.
Somebody exploded in your mouth.
So that's the Ghostbuster with Ghostbusters Get Real, and yeah.
Cool. Brought to you by Ink Whiskey.
Thanks, Ink Whiskey.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Can't wait to drink out of your flask more.
Can't wait for the bartendo.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm mostly excited about the double Kegaman pint.
Yes.
That's what I'm hands down most expensive.
So I only had one beer, dear. I only had one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last call. Do we have anything else before that?
Howard the Duck is hilarious. I've been tearing through the Howard the Duck back catalog right now that from the third release. And talk about wordsy. So many words. But I love Howard the Duck. Reading Howard the Human made me want to get back into reading the new Howard the Ducks. And not disappointed, guys. Go and read them.
I just have a few this week. Rasputin number 8, Hacktivist, Volume 2, Issue 2.
So good.
And the X-Men 92, which is X-Force 92 on this cover. And I do have to appreciate the cover. You guys know I'm not a huge Deadpool fan, but he's taking a picture on this. He's doing a selfie.
With a Polaroid.
Because it's 1992. Nunchuck. Yeah, he has a Polaroid taped to a nunchuck, so he has a selfie stick.
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I just liked the, I thought the idea on that was quite brilliant. But and look, Psylocke is scowling.
Of course she is.
Resting bitch face.
That's her default.
Yeah. All right, Tony?
I just had, really besides the ones we already mentioned, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Casey and April number 3. I normally hate, all these other, extra books that tie into main stories, but Ninja Turtles have just been great with their little mini-series that evolve their whole verse of turtle power. Well, that was it. I haven't got to a bunch of my books, which were Civil War, Deadpool, and Old Man Logan. I wanted to, but I was trying to read different stuff before doing the podcast this week. So that's all I got.
Sweet. I read Batman Arkham Knight Genesis number 1, which if you played the video game, you know who the Arkham Knight is. And pretty sweet. I don't know if I want to spoil it for everyone, because someone might still
probably a good idea
want to play that, but good little character study.
Tony says it doesn't matter it's been long enough.
It's not the Joker. Joker's dead in the video game.
You just spoiled it then, because then you told us who it's not.
It's the first 30 seconds of the game you see that the Joker's
spoiler
dead.
Spoiler alert! You just told us the first 30 seconds of the game.
Robin is red. So bad. Nightwing is blue. I suck at rhyming. I'm Batman.
So, anyways, nice little backstory on the game. Little character study of who the Arkham Knight is and where he came from. So, better than the other Arkham Knight series so far that's been going. So I would say pick it up and check it out if you liked the video game.
Stellar.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we go around the table. Yeah, we did.
We got it.
Yeah.
That's it. All right.
Yep.
Should be done then.
I think we should be.
All right.
After this Titanic failure.
I was waiting. I was waiting for it to come out. Wow. All right. Well, you know, I got nothing. All I can think of is that, you know, 3/4 of our funny is unseen. It's like an iceberg.
Yeah. Well, on that note, this band of 4 is sitting here as the ship goes down, playing as we go. Thank you so much for listening, and go out and read more comics, guys.
Yeah, keep reading them. We'll be back next week. Talk to you more about them then.
Peace.
Vulture turkeys!
I almost forgot about that.
That'll only be funny to us.
Yeah.